we're going to have baptism at the end of the service today. And there's some things I wanted to talk about a little bit this morning that involve baptism and the things that go on surrounding baptism and what it's about. You know, baptism brings to mind a lot of people and a lot of different things. In a lot of churches, people will tell me, well, you know, I was baptized as an infant, or I was baptized after confirmation, and I was sprinkled, or I was immersed. And I want to talk to you a little bit about Christian baptism and what it is and what it's not this morning. And I'd like to begin this morning with the passage about John the Baptist. And we know who John the Baptist was and how he got that name from baptizing. And that's where we get baptizing, the name baptizing, from. John the Baptist came preaching from the wilderness. And if you think about that, God had put a special call on his life. He was kind of a wild fella. But I think sometimes God calls out kind of a wild fella to get somebody's attention every now and then. And John certainly needed to do that. But he brought the message of baptism to Judea. And he did it in a way that kind of shocked people, because no one else had ever baptized other people. And his baptism was repent for the remission of sins. Turn your life around. And that's what he was preaching. And that's what he was supposed to be preaching. It was a change in a life. But where did baptism come from? Actually, baptism had been a Jewish practice. But it had been baptism of self-baptism. And I'll explain that. They believed that if a person, primarily a Gentile, a non-Jew, had repented and decided to accept the Jewish law and become, in essence, a Jew, a non-born Jew, that they could convert to Judaism. However, they would need to be circumcised. And the other thing that they needed to do, which they would do, is they would self-immerse themselves in a pool as a sign of letting go of the past and moving to the future. So baptism was certainly around. So it was only natural that people would understand what John the Baptist was doing. That it was that process of letting go of the past and taking hold of the future. Now we read in Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Jesus came down to Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. See, John knew who he was. Matter of fact, they kind of knew each other in the womb, didn't they? You remember that story with John and Elizabeth when John was in the womb? And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me? And Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. You know, Jesus had come to earth is a baby, as a man. And he was giving that very example of what we must do to let go of the past and take hold of the future. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up and immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in who I am well pleased. And what a blessing that certainly is, to know that our Lord and Savior was baptized and gives us that direct example of being baptized and why we should. In the church, to explain what baptism basically means, it is a Christian rite of initiation practiced by all those who profess to embrace the Christian faith. In the New Testament era, persons professing Christ were immersed in water as a public confession of their faith in Jesus, the Savior, and it was accomplished in direct obedience to the mandate of the Lord. In Matthew, we read in Matthew 28, 16 through 20, which I'll read in a minute. So it was that act of immersion, and what does that represent? The death, the burial, and the resurrection to new life. And when we are baptized, we are signifying to people and showing those around us that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to earth, he bore our sins on the cross, that he died and was resurrected on the third day. And we can share in that new life if we give our lives to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So we're telling people, we're letting it be known publicly that we have given our life to Jesus Christ. We accept his free gift of salvation. We know that as he died and was resurrected in a new life, we too have been resurrected into new life, not through baptism. We have been resurrected into new life through salvation and that promise of Jesus Christ. There's our new life. Is the signifying and letting other people know what we did. I can baptize people all day long, but if they haven't accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're not raised to new life. And that's just the bottom line. There's no power in it. It's not something that's going to happen. I had a guy call me one day, and this guy was a very severe alcoholic. And he was quite the character, too. You know, honestly, I think, I haven't talked to him in years, but last I heard, he was doing much better. But anyway, he called me one day, and he says, Pastor, can I come to the church and you baptize me real quick? And I said, what's going on? What makes you want to be baptized? He goes, you know, I've been an alcoholic forever, and I have a feeling that if you put me down in the water, when I come up out of the water, I won't be an alcoholic anymore. And kind of a sad deal when you think about that. But, you know, understand if we understand what baptism in the heart is, that's a true statement in a way. I mean, I guess he would still be an alcoholic, but, I mean, when you give your life to Christ and you have that new life, you open that door for that ability to be repaired. And he didn't quite grasp it, so I explained it to him. And he wasn't willing to go forward with that right then. So that baptism would not have basically, wouldn't have done much for him, would it have? Now, understand, there was a difference between John's baptism and what we do. John's baptism was people were coming forward for the remission of sin. They wanted to show that they were putting sin behind them and they were moving forward. That was John's baptism. Our baptism, New Testament baptism, is the fact that we are letting everyone around us know, because remember what Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. And that's what that is. Following, accepting Jesus Christ, I want to be baptized. I have shown in my heart, and I know that I have this new life, and I want others to know that. And I don't want to deny my Lord, and that's what I do. And that's what we're doing. But there's something else that is kind of the same with John's baptism and this baptism. And that is the fact that we are showing and representing that we have been raised to new life. And what does that mean? Just like when John was baptizing, he's telling the people to repent, do a 180, and walk away from that old life into a new life. We are showing people that we have decided to walk away from the old life. We have Jesus Christ in our life, and we want to walk into a new life. So simply to say, hey, I think I should be baptized, be baptized, and then not decide that I want a new life in Christ and I want to grow in him, something's amiss there. It needs to be a new life. So let's then go to Matthew chapter 28. These are actually the last words of Jesus to the disciples before he ascended. Beginning in verse 16, it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority, and this was authority by God, has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always until the end of the age. Jesus was not going to leave them. He was going to stay with them through the Holy Spirit coming and guiding them in their lives. But what did he want them to do? He wanted them to teach to all nations. And he wanted them to go out. And notice that he says, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. So what he's saying is telling the disciples that, look, all the things that I taught you and commanded you to do, I want you then to transfer to those people that are accepting me and being baptized, and I want you to teach them and disciple them. So understand, this shows us that baptism is not some one-time event where I say, oh, good, my bases are covered. I've talked to more people that have told me that, yeah, I'm good to go. I was baptized when I was a kid, or I was sprinkled as an infant. Biblical baptism is a total picture of immersion, and that's what it is. And the whole reasoning behind it was to show burial and resurrection. And what it is it shows that I am a new person, I'm a different person, and I'm going to walk with the Lord. And we do walk with the Lord. So for a person just to say that, you know what, guess what, I was baptized, so I'm good to go, I think they better go back and maybe read their Bible and maybe really search their heart again. Because in baptism, it's not just a physical thing to look at, it's a difference in your life, right? And in honesty, in Christian baptism, the difference in your life takes place prior to the baptism. That's why you're being baptized, because you've made that decision for a difference in your life and to walk with the Lord. I want to tell you this morning, there is no greater thing to see for me than a Christian, a person that accepted Christ, come forward and be baptized and make that decision to walk with the Lord for the rest of their life. Because what I know from that is, not just from what Scripture tells us, but from life experience, which certainly shows what the Bible says. My life experience doesn't change what the Bible says. It doesn't make it any more true. It's as true as it can be. But my life experience that I see around me testifies to the truth of the Word of God, is that people's lives are different. When you give your life to Christ, your life becomes different. When you seek to do what He wants in your life becomes different. You may look the same. You may have all the same idiosyncrasies that you've always had that are odd or different. We're all different. God designs us different. But there's something different. The difference is, no matter what arises in our life, no matter what daily thing we do, we say, God, I need your direction, not my own and not the world's. And sometimes we've got to be reminded of that. Sometimes we can go for great stretches when we're doing it our way. And you guys know very well, those of you that have been down that road, which is every one of you, because we all do it. We're not perfect. We live in an imperfect world. But we know when we walk those stretches, and we're not saying, Lord, give me your direction for tomorrow, for today. Lord, let me keep my focus on you and desire to do it. The things just don't go so well. Do you ever go through a period of time where you think, you know what? I've been doing kind of cruddy lately. Just in my own thinking, in my mind, things aren't clicking. I'm just not happy. Everyone can see that. And then you realize, oh yeah, I haven't been desiring to walk as close to the Lord as I should be. I've been doing it my way. I haven't been asking God for direction. It's nice to read that devotion in the morning and get that direction from God in the morning, even if it's just a little paragraph devotion in some of our devotion books. It kicks us off right. It makes us think about what's going to happen that day, what we can do that day, where God and His presence in our life is every day. And that's where we all need to be. We can't do it on our own. We can't expect God to bless a life that doesn't say, "You first, Lord." He's not going to do it. Because what he'd be doing is something contrary to what he says. He says, "You follow me, and I'll bless your life." So if we're not going to follow him, what's that mean? We're not going to see the blessing in our life. And we can't say, "Lord, I want to follow you, but just a little bit." See, the Bible also tells us we have a jealous God. And what does he say about lukewarm Christians? Yeah, they don't taste very good. And there's a reason for that. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not as bad as the worst of them. I try a little bit. That person over there isn't trying at all. You're almost better off being the person that doesn't try at all, because you're going to get to the point a lot quicker to realize, man, I need the Lord. I think that a lot of our problem in society today is that we no longer allow people to hit rock bottom. Pastor, that sounds awfully mean. Oh, no, it isn't. Because sometimes the only way we're ever going to look up is to hit the bottom and realize our only hope is Jesus Christ. When we support people and hold them up through the areas of sin and areas of their life that we just don't want them to hit rock bottom. We say we love them too much for that. The truth is, if we truly love them, we're going to want them to come to Jesus Christ. And the way they're going to come to Jesus Christ is to realize that they need him and that he is the only way. And the only way that's going to happen is for them and their life to get in that position where they say, "I don't have anything else. What am I going to do? I need the Lord." And then maybe they turn to the Lord, right? Isn't that what we truly desire? For people to come to know the Lord? We live in a society today where we want to make everybody look good, even if they're not. And I think it's one of the most detrimental things to people actually repenting of their life and turning to the Lord that we've seen in probably in our history. Because think about this just a little bit. Every kid gets a trophy when they play ball. Everybody is supposed to look like everyone else. Everybody's supposed to have access to the same clothing. Everyone's supposed to have access to the same electronics. Everyone's supposed to look like everyone else. And it doesn't matter to what point in their life that they're really trying, or they're not trying, or they're doing what they should or they shouldn't. We want them all to look alike. So therefore, if I can have access to all the things you do and I'm not doing anything about it and I'm just stumbling along, I guess I'll just keep living that way because it works for me, right? I grew up in an era where I knew a lot of young people that their parents let them do whatever they wanted and tried to keep them looking good, and their lives were just destroyed. You know, so many of them I know, I'm not that old. You guys might think I am, but I'm not that old. And so many of my kids that I grew up with, man, they're dead. They're dead. Because nobody ever told them it was time to toe the line. No one ever told them, you know what? You've got to do what's right, period. Or I'm not going to support this or you any longer. I can't do it. It's contrary to what God says. But instead, they lived a life where they stayed in a life of substance abuse and riotous living, and they're dead. They're gone. But I want to tell you something else. I had some friends in school. Neighborhood kids. What a wild bunch, man. I'm telling you. But so many of them, today, at some point, someone said, "You got to toe the line." And it wasn't just the physical people around them, but it was God. And they turned and they repented and gave their life to Christ. And what a blessing it is for me to see people today. Of course, you see them through social media. I think that's one of the positives of social media. I see lives that were changed of people that I never would have had contact with again. And it's amazing to me to see those people that have repented and come to Christ, and their lives are so different. It's always best to do that early rather than late. And I think that a lot of that comes through a lack of enabling also. When we enable our kids to live in a way that's totally contrary to God, all we're doing is prolonging a time when they've really got to look in the mirror and say, who am I? And what's the truth? When you raise your kids in a home and you teach them the Word of God and you teach them this is right and this is wrong and this is what God says, I firmly believe they're going to come to a lot sooner realization of, I need to either accept this God or I need to reject this God. And in most of the cases, they'll accept God. And what a wonderful life that is. You know, God wants us to come to Him regardless of our age, regardless of what we've been through. There's no condition on how bad our sin has been. You know that? Because I want to tell you something. If there was a condition on whether you could come by how bad of a sinner you were, I don't think I'd have made the cut. A lot of you wouldn't have made the cut either. And if you think you'd have made the cut, you'd better get on your knees and repent. Because none of it's good. God says all our righteousness is as filthy rags. All of it. So everything that you think you do good that doesn't come through Jesus Christ and His filter into your life is all for naught. We've got to come to know the Lord as Lord and Savior. That's why I was able to walk into that fellow's hospital room a few years ago that had lived the most riotous life that I can think of in the world. Well, I mean, he was right up there with the worst of them, trust me, as far as the world would see. And his jaw dropped when I walked in the room. Like, what are you doing here? I said, why wouldn't I be here? I'm no better than you are. I'm as big a sinner as you've ever been because God looks at all sin as an equal. And I need the same saving grace through Jesus Christ that you do. And I'm here to tell you, you can surrender what's left of your life to Him and repent. This guy only had a couple days left. But I was dead honest. I wasn't making up some story to coerce him into accepting the Lord when I said that I'm no better than him, because I'm not. None of you are either. We all have to come to that point where we say, yes, Lord. Everything I've done on this side of things are wrong. I understand that. Why? Because they're done without him. The gospel is what the whole Bible is about people coming to know the saving grace of our Lord and Savior and accepting Him and accepting it. That's what it's all about. And when we do that, we can begin that new life. And that's what baptism signifies. Someone coming forward and saying, you know what? It's time I give my life to the Lord. It's time that I quit playing this game. And if somebody says, I don't know that I want to do that because I still want to hang on to the partial sin in my life. They're either a very carnal Christian or maybe they're not a believer. Because I believe that God lays on your heart a need for change. I think some of us deal with guilt easier than others. Because I don't know about you guys, I've always said this, even at a time when I'm not in a place I should be, and there was a time, even after I was a believer, that I was keeping a foot over there in the world, you know. I always felt like a fish out of water when I was in doing that. I might be able to play the game and look like everyone else and sound the same and do the same things, but I knew that I wasn't the same thing. Does that make sense? And that does produce guilt. And we should feel guilty through that. Some guilt is bad guilt. Satan loves to use guilt in our life. But some guilt's actually good guilt. Because what it's doing is convicting you of what you shouldn't be doing. And some people are able to build up that callous wall and deal with that guilt. And I think that's a hard place to be. I think that when you finally say, okay, Lord, I'm tired of fighting this guilt. I'm tired of saying, you know what, Lord, bless my life, but I'm not giving you any reason to bless it. Lord, I'm tired of beating my head against the wall. Lord, I am tired of taking two steps forward and three steps back. Lord, I'm tired of things being difficult with people they shouldn't be difficult with because I'm not living for you. And you say, okay, Lord, I'm still the same old person you made, but you made me perfect for you. And that's who and where I want to be. Doesn't mean that the next day you go out and you put on a different change of clothes and you start carrying a Bible like this and telling, that's not what it's about. It's about a heart change. And it's about a true desire to draw closer to the Lord. That's what it's about. A true desire to draw closer to God. And understand that God made you. He designed you. And Lord, it's time for me to plug into that design because my design isn't working very well. I'm tired of trying to put a square peg into a round hole. It just doesn't fit. So why don't I follow you? Why don't I do what you want me to do? Why don't I quit making excuses and trying to find a church that will allow me to sin? I'm going to tell you right now, folks, that's no church at all. That's a religious organization that is without God. What's the Bible say about those people that claim God but deny his power? They don't know God. They don't have God. When we desire God, that's who we desire. When we desire God, we desire what he says. We don't try to twist it and make something fit. Well, I can take a word from this verse and that verse and that verse, and I can make something sound completely different. That's not surrender to the Lord. That's twisting of truth. Right? What's it say in the very... What does it say in the end of Revelation about those that would take or add or take away anything from Scripture? Your name would not be in the Lamb's Book of Life. Folks, this Word of God is true. And we're at one place in our life. We either accept it or deny it. And when we accept it, we either live for the Lord or we don't. And if you ever want to know joy in your life, like Tara has decided, who will be baptized this morning, she wants to know joy in her life. She wants to walk with the Lord. She wants to have the next 60 years of her life. You got 60 left, don't you? She wants those next 60 years to be a far greater blessing than the last 30 years. And she knows the only way that's going to happen is to walk with her Lord and Savior. Right? Yeah. And see, you can be there too. But Pastor, it's so hard. I have all these people that I'm committed to that expect me to live differently and live the way they live. Just tell them whoops. Can we ever just say whoops, I made a mistake? I've been living someone that I'm not really in my heart and I need to follow the Lord and live what's in my heart? Can we do that? See, we need to desire to live to the expectations of God, not the expectations of those around us that are not following God. And if we desire to live to the expectations of God, and we desire that, he's going to make that situation come out the way he makes it come out. And it'll all be okay. We got to stop believing the lie that Satan says that, oh, if you don't do this, it's all going to fall apart. Because he's the father of lies. Right? You know, that's the only time Satan's called a father in the Bible, is the father of lies. And do you know the only time that he is called a creator is that he's creator of lies. How do you like that? How would you like to be known for that? I'm the creator and the father of lies. That's exactly what Satan is. And that's how he controls people. And he does it well. He allows you to put things in your head that you believe. And I want to tell you something. What you think in your mind and what you dwell on is what you do. If you think I can't do it, you won't do it. If you think I'm hopeless, you'll stay hopeless. If you think that no matter what happens, nothing's going to work out, trust me, it won't work out. I know people that live from tragedy to tragedy to bad thing, because as soon as they get through one, they're more comfortable looking for the next, and half the time they cause it. And that's all brought on by the father of lies and our thinking. And we need to instead change that stinking thinking. And we need to come back and say, Lord, I know what you say. And no matter what, how hard Satan bugs me, I'm going to put you in my sight. I'm going to keep my eyes on you. And I'm going to say, no, this is what I believe. This is who I am. This is what God says. And I'm going to live that way. And it's going to be that way. And you're going to find out that it will be that way. We just need to do it. Amen? Amen. You guys can go back. So tomorrow, this morning, we're going to have a baptism. Isn't that wonderful? I'm going to invite Holly up to sing with Lauren. And you guys can do a closing. And after the closing, we're going to have a baptism. But I want to tell you